first to the book of Exodus and turn over there to the 9th chapter. How often all of us have said, "Lord, I have sinned." But I wonder, as I think of that thought, even in my own life, what did I really mean by that? I want to look between this morning and this evening, five different Bible characters who made that statement, "I have sinned." The first one will be Pharaoh. We'll deal with him this morning. The second will be Saul. The third one will be Achan. And the fourth one will be David. And the fifth one will be the prodigal son. Although I've done a series on him, there's things tonight I want to share with you that surely you'll find that was really, that was the one. These were words of repentance. But not so with Pharaoh. Not so with Saul. Not so with Achan. And then David also, I believe his sins were, we're going to find out when he made that statement. Very interesting tonight. I won't reveal that till tonight. But as we look at these men, you come to Exodus, the 9th chapter, in verse 27. Here, he said, "And Pharaoh sinned, and he called for Moses and for Aaron, and said unto them," would you read it with me? Would you say it with me aloud? "I have sinned this time." Underline it. Say it again. "I have sinned this time." Father, I pray that you will reveal to us the truth behind this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. How do we approach the sins that we commit? I believe that when he said this statement, these were not words of repentance, but these were words of a man who needed reprieve. Notice verse 27 and 28 together. Let's read verse 27 again. "And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous and my people are wicked." And then he said, "Entreat the Lord." Here's the phrase, "for it's enough." He said, "I've had all that I could handle right now. I need a reprieve from the judgments of God." Now keep in mind, this is the seventh plague. There are going to be 10 of them, but he's already experienced 7 plagues. And he had come to the place, he said, "I have sinned," but his motive was not right. And I'll tell you what, when we say "I have sinned," we need to think about the motive, reason why we're coming before God with these words. First of all, I want you to notice these were words of a frightened king. Because the plagues of Egypt had already brought about destruction and death in the land. Look at chapter 10, just the next chapter, and look there at verse 7. And this is after he makes this statement. But we find in verse 7, "And Pharaoh's servants said unto them, How long shall this man be a snare unto us?" Referring to Moses. "Let this man go that he may serve the Lord their God." And then notice what they said. "Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" This is the words of a frightened king and of a frightened people. But these plagues were brought destruction and death to the land. That's why they made that. "Knowest thou not that the Egypt is destroyed?" But these plagues not only brought about destruction and death in the land, but these plagues brought about dishonor to their gods. You realize that every one of these plagues in one way or another was a judgment upon their own gods? For example, if you go to, let's just quickly look, think about two of them. When you go to chapter 7 and you find the first plague there in verse 20, it's where he turned the water of the Nile into blood. You know the Nile, they worship the Nile. So what does he do? He turns the rivers the Nile River, he turns it into blood. That was an attack on their God, to dishonor the God. Then I think also of chapter 8. Another one I like. If you don't think there's a little bit of humor in the Bible, you're mistaken. There's some humor here. Because the second plague, Look at verse 5. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thy hand and with the rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. That was a judgment on their God. They worshiped frogs. I don't even eat frog legs, but anyway, they worshiped frogs. And the Bible says in verse 6, and Aaron stretched out his hand on the waters in Egypt, and the frogs came upon and covered the land of Egypt. And I thought to myself, you want to worship, you like frogs? We'll give you all you want. So they literally covered the land. And then here's where to me the humor comes in. Verse 7, and the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land. If there wasn't already enough frogs, they tried to bring up more frogs. It's called the doctrine of stupidity. Could you like to have frogs in your bed? Open the upper cupboard, now jumps a bunch of frogs. When I'm over in Micronesia and I open a cover, these geckos come popping out at you. I think I could handle them better than frogs. More of that, look at verse 9. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, because Pharaoh called for Moses in verse 8 and say, get rid of these frogs, please, please. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat thee for that? When do you want these frogs out of here? Now, what would be your answer and my answer? Let's do it now. What does Pharaoh say? And he said, on tomorrow. Isn't that interesting that a lot of people always want to, that aren't right with God, want to wait till tomorrow to take care of things? He was hoping that maybe somehow the magicians still do it, their false gods could take care of that today. So these were words of a frightened king because these plagues brought destruction and death, because these plagues dishonored their own gods. And thirdly, these plagues brought down the magicians, the power of the magicians. Look there at chapter 8 again. Look at verses 17 and 18 and 19. And so we find in verse 16, the Lord, I'll read verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod, smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, smote the earth, the dust on the earth, and it became lice in man and beast. And the death of the land, the dust of the land, became lice throughout Egypt. Get this. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not do it. You know why? Because the devil can't create life. Can't do it. And I like what the magician said in verse 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. So we realize them bringing down, so they could not create life. And so, listen, this repentance, this was a battle fatigue repentance, but not a Bible feared repentance. You know somebody like that? I don't have to tell you, I'm going to confess this. There have been times in my life, God, forgive me. And I've dealt with that. Well, I've asked forgiveness just because I needed a reprieve from the chastisement of God. Anyone here besides me that's willing to admit such a thing? There are times when, Lord, you beat me up so badly. But it was battle fatigue repentance and not Bible feared repentance. And there is a big difference. This was not only words of a frightened king, but go back to chapter 9 again. But these were words of a foolish addition. There are some words there in verse 27 of chapter 9. You don't want to miss this. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned. What are the two words added this time? This time. You know what he's simply saying here, and a lot of people do this? I want you to notice he was indifferent to past sins. When he said, this time, what about past sins? And I will share with you, go leave that passage, but be able to get back to it quickly and go over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. And I have highlighted in my Bible in that passage, a very important verse, verse 6. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8 and verse 6, he said, I have hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rushes into the battle. And I think this is what a lot of people do with their past sins. Have you dealt with your past? Indifferent to past sin. Now, let me tell you something. Sins of the past, we treat them with, I call them aorist tense sins or perfect sins. What is aorist tense? That's the tense of the verb which says one time act and you deal with it. But what are perfect tense sins? Those are sins that we don't deal with. And we just carry them on and on and on and on, and we carry them on into the present time. Now, let me tell you something. There are a lot of Christians sitting in pews today that have perfect tense sins. They have never dealt with them. They just carry them on, and this is exactly what this man does. I had read a book, I don't know if you know, familiar with Jay Adams, who wrote a book, Competent Counsel. He points out in his book that when he was getting his earned doctorate, he was working in some of the institutions where people who were insane were in there. And he pointed out, he said, when I began to deal with some of these people's past sins, guess what? When they confessed them and made them right, they got right with God. I wonder if we have some past sins here today we haven't dealt with. And by the way, your past sins is going to determine what you do with your present sins. If you will not deal with your present sins, you will not deal with your present sins correctly if you deal with your past sins carelessly. I want to say that again to you. If you will not deal with your present sins correctly, I'll try it again. You will not deal with your present sins correctly if you deal with your past sins carelessly, carnally, overlook them. Well, you know, that's what he did. He said, this time, as though, let me tell you something, he was piling sin one upon another. Have you dealt with your past sins? He was indifferent to past sins. Secondly, he was insincere about his present sins. Notice in chapter 9 and verse 27, again, don't miss the words. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned what? This time. The Lord is righteous and my people are wicked. But now, after another plague, go to chapter 10, verse 16. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and he said, I have sinned against thee, the Lord your God, and against you. Now, therefore, forgive, I pray thee, my sin, what? Only this once. Isn't that interesting? Forgive this particular sin. In other words, there was insincerity in asking forgiveness in his past tense that he committed in chapter 9. This is why a lot of God's people, I know Pharaoh is not saved, but the application is there. A lot of God's people do not have victory because they are so insincere about the sins that they have committed in the past. Sincerity is found when you see your sin as God sees it. Repentance is born, you know, in this case, someone said it this way, with this kind of repentance that he has here, which is battlefield repentance, is often born in times of severe trouble and then vanishes in time of calmness. We call that foxhole religion. We really don't mean it. Boy, when this thing, how many people down through the years have I known who sit in the pews, and sometimes I have to confess in my own life, I have committed some foxhole repentance. Boy, when it was all over with, I just went back and did the same thing. Anybody here beside me? Come on, let's get honest this morning. And God had to break my heart and break me. And so we see here this foolish words, indifferent to past sins, insincere about his present sins. But notice thirdly, these words were not only of a frightened king, words with a foolish addition this time, but the words of one who made a fatal mistake. You will find, going back to chapter 9, verse 34. Now look here. Verse 27 of that chapter said, I've sinned. You're more righteous than I. And then you go down to verse 34. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased after the storm was over, and now he was experiencing the calmness because the crisis was over. The Bible says, Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were, he sinned yet what? More. And hardened his heart he and his servants. Underline that phrase there. Because these are this fatal decision. Now, if you take the book of Exodus and the life of Moses, you'll find 16 times Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Sometimes it just said his heart was hardened. Sometimes you'll see Pharaoh hardened his heart. And other times you see that God hardened his heart. Make sure we understand something. Sin will harden your heart if you don't deal with it. And when Pharaoh, this fatal decision, not to take care of it, but he became hardened. Listen to me. When you harden your heart, God will come along and make it harder than when you hardened it. Because you come to the very next chapter. And you find over here, in chapter 10, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart. In other words, God only did to Pharaoh what Pharaoh had already done to himself. This is why in the life of Pharaoh, you find broken promises, neglected mercies. How many times God gave him an opportunity to repent and he didn't do it? And wasted opportunities. Sin, words of reprieve, battlefield fatigue, instead of Bible feared repentance. Let's quickly look at our second character. So go with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel 16. Whereas we find in Pharaoh words of one in need of reprieve, here you find one, words of remorse. Oh, how many times down through the years I've seen people who are very remorseful over their sin. You know somebody like that? You might say they were sorry they got caught. Remorse is being sorry for the act of sin. Are you ready for this? But refuses to accept the impact or the consequences. Let me say it again. Remorse is being sorry for the act of sin, but refuses to accept the impact. Now notice in verse 24 of chapter 16. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. There it is again. Isn't that the phrase we've been talking about? And I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words. Wouldn't that be good if that was a period right there? It's not. Semicolon. Oh, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Called the blame game, isn't it? But more than that, you'll find three things. There are three times that Saul will say, I have sinned. But in all cases, they were not words of repentance, but words of remorse. How do I know? Because when you sin and you do not repent of it, it prevents worship. It prevents worship. Look with me in verse 25. After he makes the statement in verse 24, now therefore, verse 20, I pray thee, pardon my sin, turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. You can't worship the Lord if it's remorse. Can't do it. Only in repentance. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, turn again with me and I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return unto thee. Even this righteous man knew he just could not allow that man to think that he could go ahead and sin the way he has sinned and just go ahead and worship without taking care of it. As you know, he tore his skirt, his robe, as he was walking away from him. And Samuel reminded him, now the kingdom is rent from you. You know why? Because remorse and repentance are two different things. Not only do we realize that remorse prevents worship, but it places one's own importance above the sin. How do I know that? I'm glad you asked me. Look there at verse 30, because this is the second time. Three times he will say, I have sinned. First, I have sinned, but let me worship. Sin without repentance prevents worship. And secondly, remorse without repentance means that you have placed yourself above the sin that you have committed. Look at verse 30. Then he said, I have ye sinned, yet what? What did he say? That's not repentance. Repentance, we're going to see when we look into tonight with two other men, that you just don't feel worthy to ever have any honor again or do anything. And notice here, it's the opposite. Yet now honor me. Make me look better than my sins, which make me look bad. I'll say that to you again. Make me look better than my sins, which make me look bad. Isn't that interesting? I have sinned, yet honor me. Don't embarrass me. I remember on more than one occasion in my ministry, we've had to do church discipline. You ever been there? That's a terrible thing to have to do. Or we've had to have somebody come before the church, and because the sin involved the whole church and they had to make it right to the church. And I've had a few times they say, I will not do that. I'll be too what? Embarrassed. So is God. Because you've embarrassed the church, which is His church. Honor me. The third time you see that, and by the way, the third time you see that, and I'll see twice. One had to do with the worship, but sin prevents worship unless there's repentance. Sin places its own importance above the sin the second time. And thirdly, without repentance, sin often will plead ignorance. Go to chapter 26, if you will, please. Chapter 26. Here's the third time. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Isn't that what he said two other times? Then the first time, oh, let me worship. Let me treat it as though I've done nothing wrong. Honor me before the people. Oh, please don't embarrass me. Make me look better than my sin has made me look bad. Now the third time. Then said I, Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thy eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. Look at the word erred exceedingly. It literally means I did it out of ignorance. That is a lie from the pit of hell. He knew what he did was wrong. You know how many times people I know are convinced, well, I didn't mean to do it, I just did it out of ignorance. This book instructs us how to live. I have did it unintentionally. If I had it to do over again, I regret it. I wonder if there's some of God's people that you know, or you are in that case, where it's remorse. I remember on more than one occasion when we've had to take a young person in our school and literally remove them from the school because of sins they've committed. And I've watched parents. If I could just get some kids away from their parents, there may be some hope for them. Who say, where's Johnny? Where's Susie? Where are they going to go to school? You can't do this. And they begin to put the blame on you how their child is going to turn out. That's remorse. It's not repentance. And I've seen young people who won all the benefits that they had before they committed the sin. Wow. Aren't we living in interesting times? But it's not new times. Same thing. The third time that I give you this morning, the first one was Pharaoh, which was words of one in need of a reprieve. He said, it's enough. I got to have a reprieve. I can't continue this. Second one was Saul, words of remorse. And the third one was Achan, words of regret. Go to chapter 7 of the book of Joshua. Chapter 7 of the book of Joshua. And if you'll turn there to that book, you will see here three things about, we know there was regret. I suppose that you know the story. I think it's very familiar, isn't it? I think that as they were stoning this man and his family, he was probably thinking, if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't have done it. Think with me. Three thoughts. Hiding, by the way, get this. Hiding sin does not remove it. It only postpones its discovery. Let me say that to you again. Hiding sin does not remove it. It only postpones its discovery. Numbers 32:23. Be sure your what? Sin will find you out. Sin will be discovered. Sin is not only be discovered, but it's very destructive. Look here in verse 11. Israel had what? Sin. By the way, stop right there. Who hid this stuff? One man. Are you listening? But it will affect the entire body of Israel. Do not think for one moment you will send alone or I will send alone. It affects the whole body. Israel had sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing. Who did that? One man. But it affected the whole body alone. We never sin alone. It not only affects, but it infects. Look there as we move down here. One that when Israel was winning battle after battle, and now they come here and all of a sudden, matter of fact, 36 people die in that battle that shouldn't have died because of one man. Do not think for a moment. I'm so tired of hearing people say, it's my business what I do. It's not just your business what you do. It's not just my business what I do. It's going to affect and infect other people. Notice, if you will, in verse 24, actually, verse 20 picks up the context. Can you imagine that night when I don't have time to just think about, I often think about the scene. The day before, Joshua was going to tell them, we're going to find out who did this. That gave Achan time to what? Called it repentance. Maybe as he probably didn't sleep that night, he's probably thinking, I wonder if I'll be discovered. I've hit it. And the next day when they began to, you know the story, how they got it down to one man. It was him. Before that time, he had time to repent. Let me tell you something. Repent while you can repent, because there will be a time when it will be too late. It's just going to be too late. Be sure your sin will find out. It will discover. Now notice, if you will, please, here in verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God. And thus have I done. Would you notice what this sin did in his life? He said, when I saw among the spoil, underline the words, I saw, that affects the head, the thinking process. Someone said it well when he said, there's not much difference between a man who is insane and a man who is in sin. It affects their thinking process. And he thought he could get away with it. I see here a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels of weight. Then I coveted. That dealt with his heart. See, the heart is the brain center of the Christian life. And then he took it, his hand. And then he said he hid it. You know what that did? That took away his happiness. Can you imagine? He's got all this stuff, but he can't enjoy it. Reminded of the deacon who skipped church that Sunday, went golfing, got a hole in one, couldn't tell anybody. Just couldn't brag about it. It affects our happiness. It affects our head, our thinking, our hands, our work for God. Our hearts. Sin will be discovered. Sin is destructive. And sin brings death. What are the wages of sin, folks? Death. Interesting. Look at 24, 25 as we close the service this morning. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garments and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen, his ass and sheep. And they brought him out and they stoned him. Now, whoa, stop. Wait a minute now. Why is his family having to pay the price for his sins of the father? Because the sins of the sons was involved. They went along, the children went along with it. How do I know? Look over, turn this reference, don't turn there, but write Deuteronomy 24:16. In Deuteronomy 24:16, it says the sins of the father will not be passed on to the children. You know what that tells me? The children went along and got involved in dad's sins. They were in partnership with his sin. Now listen to me. We've got too many families who named the name of Christ, were the children in partnership with the sins of the parents. You start watching the wrong programs on TV, your children will do the same thing in partnership. Remember years ago, there was an advertisement on television against smoking in it, and showed a father going down the road and he kicked a can, and a little boy behind him, he kicked the same can. Walked a little way, and the father picked up a stick and he threw it. The little boy picked up a stick and he threw it. And then the father picked up out of his pocket and he got a cigarette out. Put it in his mouth and lit it. And the little boy looked and there was a little cigarette, half of a cigarette on. He picked it up and put it in his mouth. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Participating, partnership. And I can think as that day, verse 25, and Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stone him with stones and burn them with fire after they had stoned them with stones." Can you not see as the stones were being hurled at Achan and his family, I can almost hear him say, "I wish I'd never done that." Words of regret, but not words of true repentance. Oh, I believe that I'm going to see Achan in heaven. I really do. I'm going to see Adam there too. And I'm glad I'm going there. Hello? It wouldn't have been better if he said before the stoning, and before they found out it was him, "I have sinned greatly." Many years ago, my son did something he shouldn't have done. He was about 15. He was going through some real rebellion for about 6 months. His mother would pray in the living room, which was not far from his bedroom. She would get up at 3 and 4 in the morning and pray for him. And Tim would tell me he used to take the pillow, put over his ears, trying to keep out the sound of that prayer. And then he couldn't handle it anymore and confessed it, what he did. But behold, the whole student body and confess it. That was his idea. See, that's repentance. And he said, "Dad, do whatever you want with me." At the time, I didn't want to kill him. But I wanted him to know he did not embarrass me. He embarrassed God. And I loved him. And I'm glad that he came to the place of true repentance. Let's bow our heads.